Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, January 3rd, 2015. This is episode 1149. Enjoy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, home theater, digital photography, and all that jazz for a brand new year. The first episode of 2015. Hello. Let's see. Actually, if this is the first episode of 2015, that means this is the 11th anniversary of the Tech Guy program. Began on this day in 2004, 11 years ago. And here I am. We're still talking about computers, yeah. The internet's certainly still a topic, Mac and Windows. Of course, instead of talking about Windows, was it Vista? I think Vista was coming out when we first started. Now we're talking about Windows 10, the latest version of Windows 10 coming out this spring. So a little bit has changed. We talk a lot more about smartphones than we did in 2004. It was the BlackBerry back then. You know, it wasn't until 2007 when the iPhone came out that the smartphone industry really took off. Although I have to say, BlackBerry, which has been suffering lately, seems to have a couple of new phones that people are liking. There was the Pop-Tart-shaped Passport. It's like a square. And now there's the BlackBerry Classic. It's like, it's as if, you know, it's a retro. It's like a nostalgic thing. Ooh, you have a BlackBerry. It looks just like the BlackBerry Curve, kind of. It has the little touch nubby there in the middle and a real keyboard. And people who have it seem to like it. I might have to get one. Hope you had a great New Year. Celebrated New Year's Eve safely. Came home okay. Not too much of a hangover. And here we are, beginning the new year. A lot of times on the first show of the year, we talk about what's coming this year. And usually I'm very bad at these predictions, but I can tell you a couple of things that I know are coming this year because Apple has already said it's coming this year. The Apple Watch will be out in, your guess is as good as mine, 4 or 5 months, I would say. And that's pretty interesting. That may change a lot of things, or maybe not, because it is already a fairly busy watch world. I use an Android Wear smartwatch. You know, and I was very skeptical of the idea of smartwatches, because the ones I'd used up to this point, including the Pebble, were kind of minor usefulness, but they seemed like, oh, I'm not going to wear watches for that. But I, you know, I'm kind of liking Android Wear. And I'm very intrigued what Apple's going to do with the Apple Watch. Now, the problem with the Apple Watch is you have to have an iPhone. I mean, Android Wear, you have to have an Android device, but at least you can have any Android device. An iPhone, you have to have an iPhone, I think, 5 or later, maybe 5S or later. So, I mean, I have one. I guess I'll be carrying it around to try the Apple Watch. So that's a new category for 2015. That's not something we were talking about in 2004. We were talking a lot about iPods back then. Nobody talks about iPods anymore. Because if you have music, if you have, you know, songs to download, you put them on your phone. And a lot of the times now, I don't think we even bother downloading. We just stream them, right? You get an account with one of the music services like Spotify or Pandora or something, and you don't even store the music. My mom, I was talking to my mom yesterday. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. And she, 82. She has a bunch of slides. We keep finding more slides. Remember those? The photographs you'd put in the Kodak carousel, and you'd have a slideshow. Next. Here we are standing on a rock in Portofino, Italy. Now, Mom's walking down the rock. Now I'm walking down the rock. You know, remember those? And she's apparently, we converted a bunch, well, I don't know, 5 years ago. And now she's found more. And she says, should I have a CD of them made for you when I convert these? And I said, she said, I don't know what, it was like $20 per CD. I'll get one for me and your sister and you. And I said, no, don't get it. That's silly. What are you going to do with a CD? Most computers don't even come with CD players anymore or DVDs. I said, give me the DVD. I'll put it online. Well, how will I see it? Well, how are you going to see a CD on your iPad? That's an interesting question. So we're really moving away from that idea of physical media. It's funny because we went from the slide to physical media. Now we're going from physical media to the internet, I guess, cloud. I said, well, Mom, I'll put them on the cloud. And then you can see them on your iPad or your laptop. Many laptops nowadays don't have DVD or CD players, right? So I guess that's something that's changed quite a bit since 2004. I think I've been saying this for a while, the physical media in general kind of going away. But now even downloads are going away, right? You just stream it from the cloud. It's on the cloud. We shall see. Speaking of the cloud, Google, number one cloud provider in the world, has decided that they're not going to keep it a secret anymore. There's a problem with Windows 8.1. This is an interesting conundrum for all security companies. If you find a flaw, and they found a flaw in Windows 8.1, don't worry, don't panic. The flaw is that if somebody is at your computer and logged in as a standard user, there's a trick they can play to become an administrator. Now, that's a big issue if your teenage son figures it out. But otherwise, it's not like a hack. Somebody's going to get into your stuff. But they might, Google found it about 3 months ago. They immediately told Microsoft. And Microsoft, as often happens, not just with Microsoft, but Apple, to every company, they didn't do anything. They sat on it. They said, yeah, okay. Maybe they started working on it. I don't know. But they sat on it. They didn't fix it. Now, Google... And a lot of security companies do this. I wonder what you think of this. They said, if you don't fix it in 3 months, well, the public has a right to know it's there, so we're going to tell the public. Kind of put some pressure on the company to do something. And then, of course, in 3 months, not only the public, but the bad guys now know the flaw. Google has published this vulnerability. Microsoft never patched it, including example code. That means the programming information that a bad guy would need to take advantage of it. Google says, you got to balance giving the company a chance to fix it with the public's right to know that there's a problem, because eventually bad guys will find it anyway. It also puts pressure on companies to fix it. What do you think? Should Google have just shut up until Microsoft fixed it? I don't know what went on behind the scenes. Maybe every week the guy from Google's calling the guy from that flaw. The clock's ticking. You gotta have to fix that. Hey Joe, next week we're gonna tell the world. I know. Give me a moment. You can't. It's been 90 days. I gotta tell the world. All right, tell the world. Microsoft says don't panic, fear not, and we're gonna fix it. Yeah, because they have to now, don't they? This is a common debate in the security industry. And I think that the right thing to do is, tell the company, give them a chance to fix it, but you can't give them an unlimited amount of time. I remember talking with a hacker named Matt Conover of a security company called Woo Woo. Good name for a security. Woo! Woo Woo! Security company Woo Woo had discovered a big flaw in Windows. I mean, this was a much more serious flaw, and this was some years ago. And Microsoft went 2 or 3 years without fixing it. And finally they said, look, we got to tell people. Because the bad guys are going to find it sooner or later. Microsoft puts out its fixes every month on the second Tuesday of the month. So let's see. A week from Tuesday, maybe they'll fix it. Are you mad at Marriott? The hotel chain has asked the FCC to allow it to block Wi-Fi in the hotel. Your Wi-Fi. If you go in there with your own Wi-Fi set up, you have maybe a connection with Verizon or whatever, and it's faster than the hotels, and it's not $15 to $20 a day, and you use it. Marriott says, we'd like to block that. We'd like to prevent that for security reasons. No. No. Right, the FCC. Say, no, don't. That's a bad idea. 8888 Ask Leah. Let's celebrate. First program of the new year. You give me a ring. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Still a little hoarse, I think. Woo-woo! I am such a rebel. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. I do have to, I'll beat my chest a little bit. Humble brag. We did a telethon. You know, I have, besides doing the radio show, that's not enough to keep a guy like me busy. That's a couple of shows a week. That's nothing. So we have I have a podcast, an internet network of internet shows. We do about, 25, 30 shows, of which I do half of them, do about 10 shows a week. And so we decided to bring in all the hosts from all the shows, all the staff and everything on New Year's Eve and do a Jerry Lewis style telethon. You know, where we did this last year. It was a lot of fun, where we just broadcast for 24 hours. And the reason 24 hours is because New Year's Eve is actually a 24-hour thing. When you look at the mainstream media, it's like if it's 9 o'clock in New York City, that the ball drops, that's it, it's over. Happy New Year, everyone in the world. No, it started much earlier. It starts at 3 a.m. Pacific time on New Year's Eve in New Zealand, and so that's when we began our broadcast. We had a caller from New Zealand, and we just marched our way around for 24 hours. Till, well, we didn't quite make it to 3 a.m. New Year's Day, but almost to 3 a.m. New Year's Day. And with, you know, we had a balloon drop every hour. We had a ball. We made a ball like the ball, like the Swarovski crystal ball they have in Times Square. We made one of those, and we lowered it on a lanyard. And we had a countdown. I think they have a fog machine, and we popped a bottle, and you could still see some lying around the studio. A giant bottles of champagne. You see those magnums over your left shoulder? Giant bottles every hour. But we did it like Jerry Lewis. We did it for a cause. We did it for, I think, my favorite cause, the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF. Remember Trick or Treat for UNICEF? You go around
for sure.
Raising money. Really good 4-star charity. They give 91% of the money they receive goes right to the kids around the world for all sorts of things. Education, for health, immunizations, just even simple, inexpensive things. Like mosquito netting and clean water and things like that. And so it's such a good cause. I was so glad that we could do that. And we raised, thanks to our very generous audience, we raised more than $70,000 for the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, over the last 24 hours. And I stayed up all night. But that was fun. I did shave my head at one point. And another point, for reasons I'm not, I think I got a tattoo. I'm not sure because I can't. I might have to ask you because I can't.
That is some New Year's Eve.
It's behind
man.
Me. I woke up. I thought, if there's a tiger in the room, then I'll know I had a good New Year's Eve. I didn't drink. I did not drink. We opened the champagne, and then I would give it away because I had to do a 24-hour broadcast. You can't celebrate with adult beverages if you're
exactly.
on the air for 24 hours. So, but I'm sitting funny, and there's a breeze up here that just feels strange. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Oh,
what's
man.
Better than New Year's Eve?
What'd you do New Year's Eve? Yeah.
I was at Bimbo's, a classic establishment in San Francisco.
Yeah. Do I have all my teeth? I'm just checking.
It looks like
okay.
it, but I think one of them's a little chipped.
You
know, if you're going to go down, try to land on the carpet, man. Those are the rules.
Bimbo's 365 is one of my favorite venues.
Ugh.
I was there for a New Year's Eve more than 20 years ago, and I love it. Do they still have the fish, the girl in the fishbowl?
They do.
So it's a very interesting optical illusion. Behind the bar, they have a beautiful fish tank. And you're looking, and there's fish swimming around and stuff. And I think this is like Sinatra era,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And you look, and then you say, well, that's a strange looking. Wait a minute, that fish is naked. Wait a minute, it's a naked woman. And they have some sort of, should I spoil it? There's a mirror apparatus. Some sort of mirror apparatus, and there's a woman in the basement pretending to swim, and she's projected into the tank somehow.
There you go. It doesn't
right?
spoil it.
It's optical.
It's really neat.
It's
yeah.
really cool, and it really looks like she's in there.
And it's real time.
Yeah, yeah. It's not video.
Of a lady.
No. They do, it's like, it's like the Rat Pack. It's like, it's so cool. It's such
oh,
a cool
man.
Club.
I can't even tell you.
Were your bands playing there? Is that why you were there?
None of mine, per se, but, you know, they have a side lounge with a great jazz act you would have loved, and then the main room with two insanely great bands, blah, blah, blah. It's just too much.
It's so fun. The New Year's Eve I was there, it was Butch Wax and his Glass Packs.
Oh, yeah.
My old friend Bob Sarlat. What fun that is. That is a great venue.
Oh,
classic San Francisco venue. I'm glad it's still there. Yeah. Perfect for New Year's Eve.
Great mix of people.
Yeah.
No one puking. It's very,
No one had any accidents here either. It was very nice. It was very good. Except one thing, one little thing. And if you see it lying around, I seem to have lost my tuxedo. I was wearing it for most of the evening. And then the last thing I remember, I was wearing footy jammies, SpongeBob footy jammies, and the tuxedo has disappeared.
Well, as long as you go home with your pants on or panties, I think it's a win.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because you don't have to put shoes on with these things. They get little rubber nubbies on the feet and you just walk home.
There you go.
All right, but that's enough. This is a computer show. This is a technology show.
We're looking into the future, man.
Do you have a call lined up for me?
Sure do. Steve in Mill Valley didn't get something for Christmas, I guess, or wants to give a gift to the entire house.
Okay. Thank you, Heather Hammond, mm-hmm. Phone Ranger. Hello, Steve in Mill Valley. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good morning, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
I have a question. We got a new TV, and we love it. Now I want to get a sound system for it, and the TV is in the family room.
Yeah.
And we also have a stereo receiver in the same room that powers four rooms of stereo.
Nice.
But so I want to integrate it together. I don't want to have redundant speakers.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
In the same room.
So it's interesting because for many people, the best sound system they have in the house now is the TV sound system. And often, you remember, you obviously go back to the days where you had a stereo and you had to a left speaker and a right speaker and you'd put a record on. Remember those with the turntable? Obviously, this is of that era. And this has kind of been replaced in the modern era because the centerpiece of the living room is now that big screen TV. And we're trying to duplicate the movie theater experience with surround sound. So you can easily do that, but you may not be able to do it with your the speakers will be fine, but you may have to add some. And the existing receiver may not work. What people get now is something called an AV receiver.
My situation is a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
I know about the AV receivers and so forth.
Yeah. It's just a fan. It's like a regular receiver. I'm going to explain this to people. You know it, but I'm going to explain
it. Go ahead.
Because they're listening. They're going, what is he talking about? It's just like a regular receiver. That is, you know, it's an amplifier for the speakers. It takes inputs and it has outputs. But the inputs and outputs on an AV receiver, in addition to all the usual ones, you can even, I mean, mine even has a record player input. But in addition to all the usual ones, has HDMI in, usually a few. I have seven on my Onkyo, for instance. And then one HDMI out that goes to the TV. The receiver will take the inputs from an Apple TV, a Roku, a Blu-ray player, a variety of inputs. And then it acts like a switcher, but it separates the video, sends the video to TV, and does the sound just as it would a stereo to the speaker. So what's different about your situation?
Well, first off, we don't have room for rear speakers unless I negotiate that.
Forget the rear speakers.
Okay, so...
Hold on, because we got to take a break. And you know what's great? Home theater expert Scott Wilkinson is coming up. So you hang on, and we'll have Scott join the conversation. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, home theater guru, woo-hoo. Scott Wilkinson. Scott, you were so great. Scott and his wife, Joanna, performed for our New Year's Eve party. Scott on some sort of strange synthesizer woodwind.
Yes, the Iwi.
And Joanna on an acoustic guitar, and it was so fun. And you did a song from Star Trek, which was really geeky.
I thought I wanted to be really geeky for Twit
you
New
succeeded.
Year's, and that was the perfect
that
one.
That was it. So did you hear we were talking to Steve in Mill Valley, who has basically a stereo system? I just thought I'd keep him on so we could
get your help.
So Steve, explain what's you don't want to have rear speakers. That's fine. You don't have to do that.
That's true.
Do you have a subwoofer, Steve?
Well, no. So
you're going to want to add. I think you're going to want to add that.
I definitely want a sub. Now,
and you have left and right speakers because it's a stereo. You're also going to want to add, and this is maybe the most important, a center channel.
Yes.
But those aren't expensive. Those are small accessory speakers. The full.
I disagree. I mean, it could be inexpensive, but you don't want to, cheap out on the center channel because most of the dialogue comes through the center channel. Right.
But because it's dialogue, it's not doesn't need to be orchestrally perfect from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz.
Well, you that's true, but you do want it to be the same tonal signature as the left and right speakers.
Ideally,
because things are going to pan.
Yeah. Ideally, you'd get a match set. But
exactly.
But of course, you already have, Steve, your speakers, don't you?
Yeah, well, we have some speakers. They're excellent speakers, but they're 30 years old. They're Celestion SL6s, and the used ones sell on eBay for $500.
Nice.
So,
and they're nice and broken in, and you love the sound? The sub does not have to match.
No, that's correct.
It's just producing low frequencies, and you certainly will want that. And by the way, your current receiver probably doesn't have the AV in and out, so I would get... I think you could. AV receivers are fairly inexpensive. We're just talking a few $100, and I think the quality is very good. Unless you've got a tube amp and you know a Macintosh that you don't want to replace, but if you have kind of an 80s solid state
stereo receiver,
you'd be better off with a new AV receiver anyway.
But is your advice to start from scratch with left and right, or use the old ones?
I think you might as well look. Those sound good, and you like how they sound, right?
Yeah.
I would keep him, but Scott, how is he going to solve this issue of matching the center channel?
If he can find one on eBay and he can spend that kind of money on getting another one of those speakers,
that'd be the best.
That'd be the best. That'd be the best solution.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think. Go ahead.
Now, the other question was if we need to make them smaller. In other words, these are large bookshelf speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Not large speakers, but large bookshelf category speakers.
Yep.
If we need to, I was even thinking of getting a non-powered sound bar.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
You already have two good speakers. Now, Scott and I may differ a little on sound bars. I think there's nothing like what we're talking now for you is a 3.1 system that is left, right, center, and sub. Three and the 0.1 is the sub. That as opposed to a 5.1. It's nice to have the surround, I have to say. But
you
it's
have
not,
it, Leo. You have,
I have
a surround system.
And it's not necessary. It took me about a year to hook it up. Surround's a little bit of a gimmick, like Atmos, like 3D. It's a gimmick.
Oh, well,
I know.
You and I
Scott
are
and I disagree
on that.
But what it does is, and you'd be surprised, even I was watching a streaming movie on Amazon last night, and almost everything now, including Netflix, had 5.1 that is full surround. And, you know, Scott and I will continue to disagree on that.
That's
well, now,
okay.
If I wanted to do, say, my own system of maybe, say, having a speaker that might be, say, 4 inches, 5 inches
That's
high
fine.
By 10 inches wide, and have three of them going across on a piece of plywood, in effect, with some curtain over it. In other words, do your own sound bar unpowered. Would that make sense if you need to have it, do that from a...
No, don't do that. You want good stereo separation.
Okay.
So don't the sound bar is a compromise.
Yes.
For people who don't want to place speakers, they don't want wires, they just want something sitting under the TV. It's in effect a better TV speaker in the same space as the TV speaker.
Well,
that's exactly
to the spousal approval factor here.
Well, but you already have a stereo,
there is
right?
That.
Don't you already have it set up?
Well, we have it set up, but it's to the left and the right of the fireplace, and our fireplace hearth is maybe 10 feet wide.
TVs don't do well in fireplaces.
No, so our TV is to the right of the fireplace.
Yeah, you're going to want to move it because you really do want, again, stereo separation. You want left and right with a TV in the center and a center channel either above or below, but centered on the screen is what you want.
Right, exactly. But my wife says, don't you dare put a speaker on top of the hearth. I want it to the left of the hearth, and so it's going to be 15 feet away.
Yeah, you'd have to move the speakers to really make that work. So,
right. Do you have the TV mounted above the hearth?
No, it's mounted to the right of the hearth.
Oh, to the right.
Yeah,
of the
his
hearth.
Wife
okay.
won't let him do that.
But
and it'd be bad for the TV too. By the way, it's not.
It would be
to the would be on the right side of the hearth.
Another thing, people often every spouse I talk to, and this could be a man or a woman, but the other person says, "Oh, wouldn't it be great to have it? Above the fireplace or where a picture would be." You don't want to be looking up at a TV.
That's correct.
Your neck will
exactly
kill you after
right.
a while. You want the TV to be eye level.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
So,
but he doesn't have that problem. He's got the TV off to the right.
No, the speakers are the issue, isn't it?
Yeah. You want those speakers on either side of the TV. Even if you don't have a center, you can use a you can use what's called a phantom center, which is really, you don't have to do anything. You just put the two speakers on either side of the TV, and a phantom center will appear. It's not as effective as a real center.
It's not nearly as good. In fact, I was listening, I was watching a movie the other day. It was on Google Play where they didn't do 5.1. So we were, you know, we have the speakers, but all it did was left and right. And it was much harder for me to understand the dialogue. Now, I am getting old. But that you get used to the dialogue being in the center channel and distinct. And the nice thing about a center channel, you can turn it up. So you, if you're having a hard time hearing the dialogue, and a lot of times in modern movies there's so much stuff going on, you do have a hard time hearing the dialogue, especially as you get a little older, you can tweak it a little bit, a couple of notches up, and it really makes a big difference.
So do you have a recommendation for, say, a small, like maybe 4x5x10, something of that size speaker that I might be able to sneak in between the TV and the fireplace for a left speaker?
For a left speaker? Well, I would use your existing
left
speaker.
And the right, I get two to match.
For new, you want to replace, in other words, I'm sad to say, but you want to replace these Celestials with something else.
Yeah, just because they're too big.
He could do a soundbar. You've got a great choice for the Pioneer soundbar designed
by
Andrew
soundbar.
Jones. Yeah.
Or if you wanted the separate speakers, the Pioneer bookshelf speakers are not terribly small, but they are extremely good and not very expensive. They're the SPBS 52LR is the model number.
Okay.
But now I think he's an audiophile. and I think this man understands the beauty of great sound. And I'm going to make two recommendations. I have two different sound systems set up in the house because I'm a glutton. One in my den, one in the living room. And one has a speaker. Both of them have speakers made by small U.S. companies, boutique companies that are doing wonderful work. And I think I know Scott will back me up on both of these because I asked him about them. One's Aperion, A-P-E-R-I-O-N.
Yep.
Both these companies make, by the way, 5.1 systems that make amps, that make all the pieces you could choose. So Aperion is the one, and the other one is Emotiva. Both of these are made in the U.S. They're really high quality, and they sell direct. They don't sell in stores, so they kept the prices very affordable. And I think I've been very happy, particularly with the Aperions. I think they may be my favorite small.
They're really very good. Yeah. Also, David Bix in the chat room is reminding me of a Canadian company called Energy, and they make a very small.
We're out of time. Thank you, Scott. Hold on.
All right.
Hold that thought. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
I was going to mention Energy speakers in Canada. David Bix recommends the Energy Take Classic system. It's actually a 5.1 system. Tiny little satellite speakers. I mean, they're literally just 2 or 3 inches in each dimension, roughly, and a subwoofer. And Not Mark is mentioning a company that I don't really know called Dayton Audio. He says he's a speaker snob and absolutely loves the quality of Dayton Audio speakers with a good quality center channel and main speakers at a price that won't hurt your wallet, so he says. Parts Express, apparently, parts-express.com sells Dayton Audio speakers, so that would be possibly another good choice, although, again, I haven't tried them myself.
So, Scott? One thing that when I was looking at soundbars is that most of them did not have the ARC, the audio return channel.
Yes.
And so I like the convenience of being able to turn off the TV and have the soundbar turn off at the same time.
Well, now you're talking about not audio return channel, but CEC,
right.
Consumer Electronics Control.
But doesn't that require the audio return channel also?
No, those are two separate features
that
each manufacturer may or may not implement, but they can implement them separately.
Okay.
So I don't remember whether the Pioneer does that or not. I always recommend the Pioneer soundbar SB23W, I believe is the model number. Let's see if I can look that up real quick. I don't know whether it implements CEC or audio return channel, but those two things are two different things. CEC, Consumer Electronics Control, lets you basically use one remote, and it integrates the control functions of several different devices so that you don't have to pick up one remote and turn it off and then another remote and turn it off. As you say, you turn off the TV and the soundbar turns off by itself.
And do AV receivers have that feature also, I assume?
Yes. Many of them do. Again, these are all optional features of HDMI that some manufacturers implement and others do not. Most of them implement CEC, but not all of them implement audio return channel. And in some cases, audio return channel, which basically lets you send audio from the receiving device back to the source device. So in most cases, it would be an HDMI cable output from the AV receiver to the TV. And then the TV can send audio back along that same cable for its own smart TV function and its own internal over-the-air tuner if you're using that. So the TV has some audio sources of itself, and it can send that audio back to the receiver on the same HDMI cable. So you don't have to make two connections. You can just make one connection, and audio can go both ways. Video and audio can go both ways. So a lot of manufacturers implement it. Some don't. So you have to kind of be a little careful. In most cases, audio return channel is only implemented on one of the HDMI inputs on a TV. So you have to make sure to use that input if you want to use that feature. But okay. In terms of CEC, Consumer Electronics Control.
You'll have to hold that thought, Scott. We're going to come back. And if you want to do the top of the hour, that'd be great.
You bet.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I hope you got enough information there to...
I got tons of it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Okay. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. We had a little off-the-air house call between our caller and Scott Wilkinson. I think they solved the problem. It is, I have to say, I mean, I agree with Scott. The ideal situation would be, most people don't want to spend the time, the money, or give up the aesthetics to do this, but would be to have a 5.1 or even a 7.1 surround system, or even an Atmos system, which I think is still 7.1 or maybe more. It is true. You know, having a wonderful full, as you're watching a movie, soundstage all around you is great. Hard to get those surrounds, I think, incorporated in smoothly. That takes, I think, some skill and maybe even some construction. Because what often happens is that the sounds seem to be coming from somewhere else. Like you're watching a movie, and all of a sudden, and this I have this experience myself in the large room. All of a sudden, it sounds like somebody's breaking in over your left shoulder. What's going on over there? Or you're watching a football game, and the beer guy comes from behind you, and it's very disconcerting. Beer here? What? I'm sorry, I'm watching a game. You think they're in the room? And many of these receivers now have setups like Odyssey that do kind of supposedly fix this, but honestly, really, you've got to have a almost perfect environment for these things to work well. And then, even then, when you go to all this effort, it's kind of like 5% improvement. So my opinion is go for the 90% that you get with a 3-1 system, a left or right, a center. I agree. I've come around on that. Makes a big difference. And you don't have to have a subwoofer. Certainly a subwoofer is not going to, I think, does not help you with things like classical music. It helps with hip-hop, anything with a strong bass. And it's great for movies because movies tend to have a lot of rumbling and explosions and things. But again, it's an effect. So if you have good quality left and right speakers that are able to reproduce the full frequency spectrum in a nice way, a center channel so you can hear the dialogue well. In other words, a 3.0 system. I think that's like 90%. Add a sub, that's an easy thing to do usually for most people. The sub can be put anywhere. And you're going to have a nice experience. Sound is very important, even in movies. It's very important. Tom's in Warren, Ohio, our next caller. Hi, Tom. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yes, Leo, just chewing on a smoked ham hock here.
Is that a New Year tradition for you there in Warren, Ohio?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had to use the smoked ham hocks to flavor the kraut, sauerkraut.
Oh, man.
Full of sausage and fresh garlic herb pork roast.
You stop it. Stop it. Just knock it off. You're making me hungry.
Yeah, very much.
Sounds great.
Okay, happy New
Year. Who does the cooking? Are you the cook?
I love your buzz cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the cook on New Year's Eve.
Very nice. That's a good tradition. I like that.
Anyway.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the wife wants a smoke and fire and burglar alarm system.
Ah.
And I wonder what you could...
No, I'm not really an expert on the latest. Yeah, on the latest on that. I mean, we just went out to the usual, you know, the locals, whether it's ADT or, you know, a lot of the cable companies. I know Comcast now. Yeah, we'll offer that. They put sensors up everywhere. Modern home construction, at least here in California, I suspect this is the case in much of the rest of the country as well. They put in sprinkler systems now in homes, which I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly good for fire suppression. Makes me nervous every time I smoke a ham in the house. I'm worried the whole place is going to get drenched. But as yet, no problems. I'm the tech guy and all that, and we just went out to the local alarm company and had them do it. However, there are a lot of do-it-yourself solutions out there. There's some interesting choices, especially if you're looking at full home automation. See, one of the things that's bad about the system that we got is it's not going to tie into anything else. But wouldn't it be cool if it could tie into a full home automation system? So, and you can imagine some scenarios. You'd have cameras that would monitor if there's motion. Maybe that camera could also note when people come home and turn the heat up a little bit. And, you know, there's all sorts of scenarios you could think of. Lights come on and so forth. So if you're bent that way, then this is a little bit more of a do-it-yourself solution. You might be up on ladders, putting up sensors and things like that, putting sensors on windows. But then you can do something much more flexible. You probably will save money. What you lose, of course, is the monitoring service. Because if you go to a security firm, they have operators. And, you know, our business here, too, has an alarm. And when I forget the alarm code, which I do pretty much every day, then 45 seconds after I enter the building, a big horn starts making noise. And they start calling people. They go down the phone tree and say, the alarm's going off at the Brick House Studios. Would you, is that okay? And on and on. And that's something a do-it-yourself solution won't provide. So you have to decide, unless you contract with another company, but you have to decide, you know, exactly what you're looking for. If you're a do-it-yourself and you're interested in kind of more extended home automation, there's some great choices out there. We have a sponsor, SmartThings, that makes exactly that. They start with home security kits that include cameras, motion sensors, and then a hub that is talking to all of those. But then that hub can be further extended to do other things, to know when the kids come home, for instance. You can put a little sensor in their backpack. Or when the kids leave, maybe more important, you put a little sensor in their shoes or whatever, braided into their hair. I don't know. Put a collar on them. I don't know. So there are a lot of companies like that that do that kind of more elaborate stuff. In fact, as you know, or maybe don't know, but this next week is the big Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in Las Vegas. I'm not going to go down. We did, I was saying we're 11 years old this week. It was in the very first shows we did from the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas in 2004. I'm going to skip it this year. I now can send people, but we will have three or four reporters down there, including Scott Wilkinson, who's going to go down and cover home theater at the Consumer Electronics Show for us. In fact, we'll hear about that next week. But I also expect to see a lot of home automation, home security. There's a big pavilion, a whole part of the show floor dedicated to this. And a number of people seem to think this is the year. Finally, I've been saying this for 10 years. I think I said it in 2004 on our first show. Finally, this is going to be the year when some unified home automation solution comes along that's easy to use, easy to set up. Everything talks to everything else. That's our hope. Appliances, security, everything should talk together. And you know what makes this finally more doable, much more so than in 2004, is we all are carrying a pocket computer around with us, a.k.a. our smartphone. So we now really can control these things remotely over the internet via our smartphone. Suddenly you have a device you have in your pocket at all times, the remote control that controls all of this. And now it's starting to gel. Google's getting into this in a big way. I don't know if we'll hear about it next week. I hope we will. But Apple has said very much they want to be a part of this. We were talking about predictions for 2015. I'm almost certain Apple will release an updated Apple TV that will include home automation, including home security features, and that will be very interesting. The problem with Apple, of course, is Apple does it always so that it works with Apple and nothing else. So if you're all in all Apple family, you have iPhones, iPads, Macintoshes, it'll be great. If you're not, there'll be other companies. SmartThings is a Samsung company, so expect Samsung and Android compatibility from them. Google really wants to do this. Microsoft has been trying to do this for 20 years. This may be the year we go to CES. Well, I'm sending a reporter for sure over to the Home Automation Pavilion to look at and see what has happened. Because up to now, it's just been, you know, different standards. Nothing talks to anything else. The utility has been very limited. It's been gimmicky, frankly. But you could start to see the potential here with a smartphone, sensors in everything. I mean, not just an alarm system, not just a camera system. Google now owns Nest, the thermostat, Dropcam, the camera system. They're very close to doing this. But also refrigerator, washing machine. Samsung says that their SmartThings hub is going to talk to your washing machine. So you'll get an alert when the drying's done, or maybe you'll get an alert, you know, maybe you could send a signal that says, I'm coming home, start the washing machine. It'll be interesting, I think. But again, this is something that has been promised for more than a decade. And it's kind of silly to think, oh, this is the year. But maybe it is. Hope lives eternal in high tech. So I guess, Tom, really, in a way, my answer is keep smoking that ham hock and wait and see what happens next week, because there may be some pretty big announcements that may give you a direction. Again, depending on whether you just want a simple system that phones a call center, that sends the cops, or you want something that you control yourself. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, a couple people in the chat room were asking about the guitar Joanna was playing at New Year's Eve, and it was Jason Howell's Taylor. We don't know the specific model, and my wife plays a Martin, and I don't know the specific model of that one either. It's a pretty small one, and that's one reason we really like Jason's guitar, was that it's a pretty small body guitar, which she needs because she's a relatively small person herself, and, you know, these big giant guitars that she has to, like, wrap her arms around gets kind of uncomfortable. I'm going to try and find out which one it is, if I can get her attention here while I'm on the air. But in any event, we've been talking also about TVs, obviously, and what might we expect from CES. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see a pretty good range of OLED TVs from LG, not from Samsung, not from Sony, not from Panasonic, other than possibly some, prototype concept kind of things like they often do. But in terms of real products that you can buy, it's LG all the way. And their related company, LG Display, is probably going to be supplying OLED panels to some of the Chinese companies like Hisense, TCL, Changhong, and Konka. So we might very well see some OLED TVs and hopefully 4K OLED TVs at CES. We will certainly see a plethora of 4K and UHD TVs everywhere at CES. And I'm hoping that some of the manufacturers have gotten the message from AVS Forum, at least, and are going to offer some flat alternatives, because all these curved TVs, nobody at AVS likes them, very few people anyway. And that's a pretty large enthusiast community. So I'm hoping that the manufacturers have listened and have decided to offer some alternatives, some flat models as well. Somebody asked me about the Vizio M series. They were thinking about getting an M70 702i, 2014 model. And I've been living with the 60-inch for quite a while, and I really, really like it, with one caveat, and that is its off-axis performance. That is, if you're off to the side, the contrast goes down, black level goes up, colors get desaturated. It really affects how you see the image, what image you see quite a bit. And with a big enough screen, and if you're close enough, and the 70 inch is a pretty big screen, you can even see the difference if you're not sitting directly. Well, even if you are sitting directly on axis, right at the center of the TV, as you look off to the side, the color shifts a little bit and the black shifts a little bit. Depending on how close you're sitting to that TV, you could see. I notice it particularly when I'm launching Netflix. And as you probably know, Netflix, it basically fills the screen with bright red and then the word Netflix in the middle. And the way my TV, my theater room is set up, it's basically just for Joanna and me, we have two chairs next to each other. And I'm sitting in one, she's sitting in the other, and you're looking at the TV at a very slight angle. And even on a 60-inch TV from 8 feet away, which is the right distance for a 60-inch, you'd want to be a little farther away for a 70-inch, 10 feet. But the same problem would probably occur. The red of the Netflix screen looks different on one side of the screen from the other. It's more saturated on one side of the screen than it is on the other, depending on which side of the screen you're more perpendicular to. So this is very interesting. It's not really distracting on real content, except if you're pretty far off axis. But if you're sitting close to the center and real content, I don't notice a problem at all. Except possibly in space scenes. You might see a little difference in black from one end of the screen to the other, but it's not a real big problem. Getting back to Joanna's guitar, we decided not to bring her guitar because we didn't want to risk it on the plane. And D-Jinx agrees that was kind of a smart thing to do. So Wow Hunter asks, do I have any idea if LG will make an OLED display at around 40 inches? Are they all going to be 4K? I hope not. It's hard to say. I imagine they're probably going for the larger screen sizes and 4K resolution. They have a 55-inch 1080p that they've had for a while, and that price came way down, way fast. So it's very easily, I suppose they might do a 40-inch, but I kind of tend to doubt it. I think they're going to be going for the higher-end, larger screens. So that is the answer to that. Becky asks, what's the pyramid thingy on my shelf back here? It's actually a clock. It's called the Pyramid Clock. And I like unusual clocks. I collect them, so that's one of them for sure. Yogi says 4K Blu-ray disc will support both higher dynamic range by increasing the color bit depth to 10 bits per color. And greater color gamut by using Rec 2020 color space. When will TVs be able to support this new standard? Well, we don't know that that's the standard yet. We expect it to be, but the 4K Blu-ray specification isn't expected to be finished until the spring. So we don't really know. As for when TVs are going to be able to support 10-bit, that I think is pretty likely. We might very well see that at CES this year. That's I'm hoping anyway. Rec 2020, that's going to be a while. It's possible they might get close to it using this new technology, this new backlight technology called quantum dots, which I expect to see a ton of at CES. This is a new backlight technology that uses blue LEDs illuminating a film of suspended tiny microscopic spheres made of a very special material. And depending on the size of the sphere, when it's hit by blue light, it will glow either green or red or yellow or any color you want, depending on the size of the sphere. And what we're talking 2 to 10 nanometers in diameter. These spheres are tiny. And they can be very precisely controlled in the manufacturing process, the size of them. So people are making quantum QD Vision is one company, Nanosys is another, that are making these films in which there are suspended quantum dots, these little tiny spheres of two different sizes, really. One size will emit green, and one size will emit red when struck by blue light. So you put a blue LED or a bunch of blue LEDs in the backlight system with these quantum dots, and you get the blue from the blue LED. Not all of that blue light gets absorbed by the quantum dots.
Thank you, Scott.
And you get white. Thank you, Leo.
Take care. Happy New Year. Thank Joanna, too, for the performance. That was awesome.
I'm so glad you liked it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our first show of the new year, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, the website, techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. That's a good site, even if I do say so myself. If you are listening to the show and you say, what did he say? What? What was that link or whatever? We put it all there on the website. And a happy new year and a thanks to James DeRuvo, who's doing that right now as I speak. He writes this all down. He's in the chat room, gets all the links. But then also Josh Windisch, who is here in our studios. After the fact, he adds audio, he adds a video. It's free. There is no charge. There's a very good search on it. Please take advantage of it. The idea is that over 10 years now, we've got enough stuff on there that there's going to be an answer to almost any tech question you have. And not just my answer, but you can also add comments. And I see there are a lot of comments on there, and that's really helpful. If you have a better idea or a thought, if you've got a surround sound system idea or whatever it is, that's a great place to put it. TechGuyLabs.com. You'll also get a link there to our website. I'm sorry, to our chat room. You're on the website. To our chat room, where lots of great, smart people are paying attention and can help you also. TechGuyLabs.com is the thing to remember. That's the main one. Moving on, we've got Mark in Los Angeles. He's next. Hey, Mark. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
How are you?
I have a question about charging my Nexus 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came with KitKat, and then recently I got a notice that said that I can upgrade to Lollipop, which I did.
Good.
And it just seems that battery life isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, that's interesting because it should be better. And most people are reporting Lollipop does a better job.
Really?
Yeah, Lollipop, Android 5.0, does some significant changes to make the battery life longer. For instance, two things kill battery life. One is screen. Just the screen being on is bad. You'll improve your battery life just by turning down the screen, and you'll probably notice that, you know, when you don't look at your screen, like overnight, or you know, you got a busy day, you get much better battery life. The screen is the big battery killer. But the second worst thing is something called wake locks. This is when your email program or Facebook or what have you wakes up, and it's usually on a schedule, not because you looked at it, but because it's on a schedule. Every 10 minutes, get the new email. Has to wake up the whole system. Hey, I need to get some email. Turn on the radios. Download the email. It's as if you're looking at it. The only thing that's not on is the screen. Those wake locks will kill you. So one of the things Lollipop, Android 5.0, does is consolidate the wake locks into groups so that, because the worst scenario is things wake up and then go back to sleep. And then another thing wakes up, and it keeps your phone in effect on all the time. And if you notice that your phone is hot in your pocket, that's because it's being waked up all the time by stuff. Your phone should ideally be cool when it's not on because it's not working. Heat means the processors are on. So a Lollipop should really give you better battery life. If you're not getting battery life, there could be other reasons. You know what I would probably suggest, Mark? You're obviously a sophisticated user if you're using a Nexus phone. That's the Google special developer phone platform. Is probably a device reset. It won't put you back to KitKat. It'll leave it at Android 5.0.
Okay.
But I would guess that that would fix things. There may be some cruft lying around. The other thing is to look for applications that do wake up the system. For instance, I take Facebook off. If you have to have Facebook, set it in the application to never update until you get there. What you want is Facebook doesn't wake up the system at all, doesn't use the system at all, unless you open Facebook and say, give me my updates. And the email should be the same way, unless you really need to have notifications. If you like the notifications, you'll need to leave that on because that's when it says, hey, you got a new email from Mom. You better respond. But the less that's going on, the fewer wake locks, the better. Android 5 should fix it doesn't get rid of the problem of wake locks, but it just consolidates them so it's waking up less often. But waking up is still a problem.
Now, what about when I'm driving and I have it plugged in my car and I'm using navigation?
That's a killer.
Yeah, and then I get to wherever I'm going and I take it, I unplug it and I put it in my pocket, and then I look at the battery life and it says, 15%.
Yeah, that means your charger ain't working. That's what that means.
Okay.
Yeah, I would check your charger in that case. Chat room's telling me that there is an update to 5. I actually have it on all my phones, 5.01. That one of the features of 5.01 is it improves the battery. Apparently, there was an issue with the Nexus 5. So if you haven't updated to 5.01, I will.
I'll check on that.
Yeah.
What about chargers that are 1 amp versus 2 amp?
I don't know if it'll make a difference on the Nexus 5. More amps is generally means more watts. It always means more watts. All USB chargers are 5 volts. And the number, the amount of amps tells you how many watts. And, of course, watts is how much power is being pushed into the phone. And many phones can do better. For instance, the Nexus 6, the Galaxy Note 4, and a few other phones use a supercharging capability that takes advantage of more wattage and charges faster.
And will that hurt the phone?
Never will hurt the phone.
The
phone has its own circuitry. It will only take as much juice as it needs. So it doesn't hurt to go to a higher amp charger.
Okay.
And it might help. I don't know if what the Nexus 5... See, the issue is the Nexus 5 probably is set up to draw probably 5 watts. And so having a 10-watt power supply isn't going to change anything. But you want to have as much, give it as much juice as it can take, obviously. It'll charge faster.
I looked at the fine print on the charger that it came with, and it says 1.1 amps, I think. A friend of mine has a 2.1.
I'd get a 2.
And it charges much faster.
Yeah, it'll charge faster because it's pushing more electrons down. And it remember, when you have the nav going, you've got the radio going, you've got the processor at full, and you've got the screen on. It is using as much juice as it possibly can. So I would, again, it depends on what the circuitry in the 5 can handle, but you want to give it every bit of wattage it can take.
Right.
So get a better charger. Yeah, I always buy the biggest chargers I can find because it's never going to hurt anything. It's not like it'll explode. There's
right.
circuitry in the phone that keeps it from taking too much power, but it certainly you want to give it as much as it can take in every case.
Very good. Well, thank you, Leo.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for the call. All Nexus right. 5 is a great phone. It's funny because when they came out with its successor, the Nexus 6, it's so big. It's 6 inches. A lot of people who like the Nexus line, these are phones sold by Google, and they're pure Android. There's nothing additional on there. And iPhone folks will say, well, what do you mean? Because all iPhones are pure. But in the Android world, the Samsung and HTC and LG and everybody, they add their own stuff on top of it. They customize it highly. And most of the time, these customizations are not improvements. Let's face it. They're ads for Samsung or LG. And so real Android fanatics say, I just want pure vanilla Android. That's a good thing. And that's why they buy these Nexus phones. The Nexus 5, though, being superseded by the Nexus 6, worried people because a lot of Nexus 5 owners do not want to go to a 6-inch screen. Google continues to sell the Nexus 5, but I've heard they're not going to make any more. So if you can get one, and you want a smaller 5-inch screen, you might want to get one. The nice thing is Google does guarantee that these will be up to date for some years to come, that they will get the latest version of Android. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Bill, listening on KFI, the mothership. Hi, Bill. Bill, are you there? We've kept him on hold so long, he's probably gone to sleep. Hey, Bill. Oh, see, Heather, she's so upset because you know what she does? She goes and wakes these people up right before I go to them. And apparently he fell back asleep. Remember when we picked up somebody and she was snoring? Remember that?
I was not here that day.
we actually had a caller. And I figured, well, I don't think she's going to speak. So I'm going to put Bill on hold. We got to take a break anyway. And maybe you can wake him up. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Give me a ring. Let's talk high tech. That would never happen. That would never happen. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I think we lost Bill. Bill must have just passed out. All right, let's go to Gary. And I understand. I mean, sometimes these people are on hold for an awful long time. But, you know, that's why they love Heather, because she'll actually check on them. She'll feed them sandwiches, give them some hot coffee, a donut. Say,
do you have a pulse? Oh, yeah. Bill. Oh.
Huh, he's awake. Oh, my God. He lives. No. Hi, Gary. On, what is it, Highway 2 in North Dakota. Wow.
That's right. Leo, thank you for taking my call. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Gary. Can I just ask a question? Is North Dakota so sparsely populated that they couldn't give your town a name? They just call it Highway 2? Or are you actually on a highway?
I'm Gary the trucker from Cape Cod.
Got it. You're from... I get it now. You're driving down the road.
Uh-huh. Because I knew I was close, I pulled over so I wouldn't lose the cell.
Thank you. Well, not just lose the cell. I don't want you to lose the control of the vehicle.
Things can get exciting.
How big is your truck?
Well, it's a full size
18-wheeler.
Which, yep, full size 389 Mac. I see a 389.
Oh, nice.
With a 53-foot trailer.
Those things, are high tech nowadays, aren't they? A truck these days is a high tech vehicle.
That's absolutely true. I've got an 18-speed. With a 550, but the engine is so powerful, I can drive it like a 12-speed. In other words, I don't have to split the low side.
I'm sure that is meaningful to every trucker in the audience. I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you have a weaker engine and a real, real heavy load, you'll have a necessity to go through all 18 speeds.
Have you carried this cargo that's in the truck now all the way from Cape Cod?
No. I picked it up in Williston. It's heading east. But I get home maybe every 5 to 7 weeks.
I'm not sure you want to get home to Cape Cod right now. It's probably pretty chilly.
Oh, it's way colder up here.
Oh, actually, what am I saying? You're in North Dakota.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
Holy cow.
It's 20 below. Actually,
they got icicles coming out of George Washington's nose. That's South Dakota. So what can I do for you?
When nature calls, you want to turn your back to the wind. But let me make an observation that when you cross the dignity and gravitas of Walter Cronkite,
yes,
and the child friendliness of Fred Rogers, you got Leo LaPorte reading children's books.
Oh, did you hear both of them?
Very good.
One of them was a very nice children's book. The other one,
wonderful,
reflected the experience of every parent of a small child at some point or other, when the kid will not go to sleep, and it's the funniest book.
Right.
I just love it. It's called "Go." Well, I can't read. I can't tell you the name on the air. Go the heck to sleep, and you could.
Well, it reminds me of better spoken than shaken.
Actually, I think Audible.com has a free or used to have a free version of that read by, I think it was Samuel L. Jackson. And you can imagine how that would come out.
Well, some parents with a little bit less humor might get all in an affront about it, but it was really 2
in the morning. I figured if there are any kids up, their parents clearly are party animals and won't care.
Yeah.
What can I do for you, Gary?
Well, at home, I'm all computed up, and most of my needs are met by my iPad 2 retina screen. But I like to play with Raspberry Pis, and I need the smallest full HD screen you can recommend.
Ah.
If I can get a small, because I'm space constrained,
yeah.
If I can get like a 4K, like 12-inch or 15-inch.
What a great project this is. So this is for the cab?
Yeah. Well, for the cab not when I'm driving, but when I'm in my sleeper.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be playing around with my Raspberry Pis, the plural.
I go from a
2 configuration to a 5. I've gone as high as 7. And then I meet some smart kid at some truck stop. I'll give him one of my Pis.
Oh, isn't that great? They're $35 for the full one, and I think the inexpensive one minus the Ethernet. These are little computers. They're really for hobbyists, although they're full bore computers.
They are, especially when you can do a multiprocessor rig with them. They can have some horsepower.
Yeah, Well, I know what we use, and they're kind of pricey. But Blackmagic, I'm looking at them right now. Blackmagic makes the most wonderful Ultra HD screens that are 8 inches.
Wow.
And they're gorgeous. They're LCDs. They're low power. They take HDMI in, so you can drive them with anything.
See, if my iPad had HDMI in, I'd be all set.
Yeah, well, you'll have to get a mini display port to HDMI, but that's not so bad. These are broadcast quality monitors. You can do high def, 1080p. That's what you asked. There's one that's 17 inches, but I have the SmartView Duo in front of me. That's dual 8-inch displays. These are really gorgeous. Now these are for broadcast applications. But you know what? You might like them because they're rackable and they're $500. They're not super.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, they're not super expensive. But notice they have ears. They're rack mountable, and that might make it better for your truck because you can actually mount it into a wall or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Leo, thank you very much. I had heard about the Blackmagic cards.
But
I
love Blackmagic.
Yeah. I didn't know Blackmagic made monitors.
Yeah, no, we love Blackmagic. These are broadcast quality, so you know you're getting very true color rendition. I think these are these take SDI in, but that's easy to get an SDI to HDMI or mini display port in your case converter.
Sure.
These are I can vouch for them because we use them all over the studio. There's the 17 inches right down here. I'm pointing at them like you can see them, but it's right down here. I've got the dual 8 inches in front of me, and I use them every day. But there are other choices as well. In fact, I tell you what, this is where we're going to send the chat room to our webpage, techguylabs.com. Question 2, hour 2, and or maybe it's question 3, hour 2, and get your suggestions. There's got to be many places. What would you want? 8 to 12, 8 to 15, 8 to 17.
Well, the form factor of the iPad would be perfect, but 17 would not be too big.
Yeah. The other thing you might want to look at, if you have an iPad, they now have. There's a great piece of software to turn your iPad into a second screen from Macintosh. Now it has to be hardwired connected. I don't know if that's good or not, but that might.
I have a NUC, and I have my Raspberry Pi.
A NUC, that's the Intel, the little Intel hockey puck computer. I love those.
Yeah, I'm waiting for 7 to come out.
So you're saying this is? I thought you said Mac for some reason. You know, it's not a Mac.
Oh no! I am all computed up at home. With my Macs and my
well, look at the Duet. It's called the Duet Display. You can buy it. It's software, and then all you need is a cable, and that works to make an iPad a second screen. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Johnny Jets on the air. He is our travel guru, using technology to save, to travel better, to live life more fully. And we all wish we were Johnny Jet. Let me tell you, he goes to some of the most beautiful places in the world. He is where are you?
In Honolulu, Hawaii.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. And you were there for New Year's Eve.
I was. First I went to Kona, then I flew over here, and...
Oh, man. I see a ukulele on your mantelpiece there.
This is actually the Modern Hotel, and every room has that.
Oh, that's neat. So do you like it? The Modern Hotel, it looks like you're right on the beach there.
It's not on the beach, but it's right near... It's near the Hilton Hawaiian. It's right on the harbor.
Modern. Is it modern?
It is very modern.
I like the name. I like the name. So, well, Johnny, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I like the hairdo.
I do have one question before you get into your thing, and you probably heard about the Marriott hotel chain and their petition.
Blocking people?
Yeah, well, they've petitioned the FCC now because the FCC said you can't do this. In fact, it is against the law to block Wi-Fi signals or cell phone signals. You can't do that. These are unregulated. But the FCC has received a petition from the Marriott Hotel. Apparently, the Opryland Hotel, which is run by the Marriott chain, has been doing this. If you bring in your own 3G or 4G card and you're using that as Wi-Fi, they've been blocking it.
Yeah, that's BS.
They say it's for security. Now, I understand if you set up a Wi-Fi access point called Marriott Guest... and people were signing into it and then you were using it to hack them, that would be a problem. And they should block that. And that's what they claim is that, well, we're doing this for security reasons, but really it's pretty apparent they're doing it to protect their
money.
$15 a day income stream from crappy Wi-Fi.
Well, not only that, they charge big money for when you come in and into the conventions. So if you're gonna set up a table or if you're having a conference, they don't just charge $15. Some of these charge $600 a day.
And now they're modifying it to say, well, we'll only do it in the convention center areas. So that really proves it's not about security, doesn't it? that's kind of
has nothing to do with it. Listen, I'm a fan of Marriott, but I am totally against this. This is. You know, again, it's BS, and
they'll back down. They're getting some heat. I think a lot of times companies do these things, think, oh, no one will notice. Nobody pays attention to FCC filings, and then when the publicity comes out, they go, oh no, we didn't. Oh, we won't do that. No.
So people said you can use like PDA Net Plus, or my cousin uses Foxfi.
Right. These take an Android phone and turn it into a tethering hotspot.
Right.
And you can do it with an Apple too. And of course, remember there are ways to do it that are legal and illegal. You want to make sure that you're, because some carriers like AT&T will charge you to do the tethering. They'll charge you an extra $20 a month. But some phones.
Well, I have the tethering on my T-Mobile.
Yeah, Android. T-Mobile doesn't charge you for it.
And I don't get charged for it. So
yeah. So do you when you get to a hotel, do you just use your phone instead?
No, I usually don't. But if it's sometimes I have a weak connection, I will do it.
Right. Right now we're on the modern hotel's Wi-Fi and it's fabulous.
Good.
It's actually great.
And this used to be a Marriott hotel.
You look 20 years younger. I'm not kidding. Doesn't he look great? He's relaxed.
I just shaved.
You just shaved. You got a beautiful Hawaiian shirt. That's gorgeous. All right, usually Johnny gives us an app and a website, so I'm sorry I slowed you down here. What do you got?
That's right. Here's my website I just tweeted to you to make it easier for you, mm-hmm. but it is matadornetwork.com/travel-map.
And what do I get when I go there?
So when you go there, so it's, you know, especially at the end of the year, everyone's talking about where they either went for the year or you can do it or show where you've been for the whole all your life. So it's a pretty cool map that you can build very quickly. You can just check off the countries. You can do it by continent. And then you can build a map and share it with your friends, either on your social networks or whatever. But I love it. I love it because it's so easy to use.
This is great. Yeah. You can see all the places you've been and then share it. It's kind of a humble brag. You can share it with your friends. Say, see, I've been there. No, I've been there. Yeah,
kind of, but it's also an educational tool because I guarantee you some of these countries, especially in Africa, you're going to be like, man, I didn't realize that was a country.
I was there and I didn't know it was a country. this is fun. Yeah, I'm starting to check it off now. I'm going to do my lifetime travels. All the places I've been. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, you've been everywhere. You're like Johnny Cash. Johnny's been everywhere, man. Jet's been everywhere. I'd like to see yours because it fills in the gray countries with blue when you've been there.
It's actually on my website or the link I sent you. I embedded it in there.
Oh, cool!
So
we could see where Johnny's been. Is it all blue?
I actually have some work to do. No, I've only been to 89 countries.
Oh, only 89. So, what's the light blue versus the dark blue?
I think it's just showing I think it's just shading it.
Oh, so it doesn't get all one big blob. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right.
87 countries, Johnny. You got to get to Greenland. Is that Greenland? You've never been to Greenland?
Yeah. It's part of Denmark, but yeah.
Wow.
I've flown over it many times. It's beautiful from the air.
I think flying over it counts. But then, as you know, I'm a cheater. I thought this was shaving my head, so you can't listen to me. What is your app of the week?
All right, so I was going to say this app called Easy Measure, but while I'm sitting there on hold, I actually changed it to Smart Measure. So it's an app.
So forget Easy Measure; it's now Smart Measure.
Yeah, I'm changing the app because it had better ratings. The other one,
aha.
I mean, this one has a better rating, so that's why I didn't tweet it.
What do you measure with this?
Yeah, so you know, if you're ever traveling, which you know, and you need to measure something, let's say you're in a store and you want to bring back something home, so you don't know if it will fit. You know, this is a great way to do it. To
so what is it, a measuring tape?
Exactly. It's not a tape, but it's a digital tape.
Actually, it's very cool. So you use your camera, and you point it to the different places, and it uses what? It uses parallax to calculate the actual height. Is it pretty accurate?
You know what? I'm still working it out right before I got on. So one thing was accurate, one thing wasn't. But
all right, I'm going to try it.
I just changed it the last minute, so...
Turns out I've already got it installed, I see here. So that's good. Oh, I didn't know. Little did I know. No, when I moved, this was about a year ago, I was, in fact, trying to figure out, you know, how big this door was or how tall the ceiling was, and I needed something to do that. This was perfect. And it actually, as I remember, it did a pretty good job. Not perfect, like you said, not perfect, but good enough.
Well, I carry a tape measure in my bag when I travel, just to measure whatever. Yeah. Sometimes I measure the seats in front of me to see if the airlines are lying or not about the pitch. And or the width,
right?
So I think it's handy thing.
I got a little tip, a Christmas tree tip from last night. Always remove the Christmas tree point first when you're trying to get it out the door. Don't go the other way.
Point first.
What,
you mean from?
Don't stop from. Don't come from the bottom, because that. Holy cow! I didn't. Who knew? I had an explosion of pine needles in my house. They're everywhere. I'm finding them everywhere in my sock drawer. Everywhere.
I would think it would be the way around.
You would think you'd go bottom first?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I would have had the explosion either way. I just figured this, whatever I did was wrong. I thought if you go at the little side first, you can squeeze it out the door. Our tree, we got a big tree. I think it was 6 or 7 feet at the bottom. It was very wide.
Right. I think you need to clip off the branches.
Yeah. That's what we did. We ended up trying to do that.
Growing up, we used to have a huge tree stuck in the door. My dad liked to have, we used to have 14-foot trees.
Yeah, this was 10 feet.
And
that's what made me think of it, because I had to measure the ceiling with a smart measure to know how big a tree we could get in there.
But lately, my wife has had an artificial one for
Much
her apartment
better.
In Canada.
From, yeah, from now on. Yeah, isn't that funny? She's in the Great White North and she has a plastic tree. She could go out her door, there'd be 1,000 pine trees right there. JohnnyJet.com. That's his website. At JohnnyJet on the Twitter. You're the best. Have a great Hawaiian vacation. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Andy's on the line from Tahoma, Tennessee. Hi. Yeah. Or Tullahoma. Hey, Andy.
Yeah, you're right. Ask Tullahoma.
Tullahoma. And,
by the way, shaving with an electric razor is still shaving. And so you should listen to Lisa and ignore the adjective.
So before people jump to the wrong conclusion, we're talking about my head. I shaved my head to raise money for UNICEF on New Year's Day. We had a 24-hour telethon. We raised $70,000, I'm proud to say. Thank you to all our donors. And one of the things I said I would do is shave my head. But then there are doubters, even though it's pretty short, who say, well, you didn't shave your head with a razor. So I'm going to, in the next news break, I'm going to shave my head with a razor. So there, with a nice Harry's razor. So it won't hurt much. I hope. You think I can do it in 6 minutes? No? We'll see. If I come back with a kind of an unusual look, then you'll know. Fortunately, it's radio. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I'm handicapped and I carry an emergency phone. It's just a flip phone, but it's dying, so I've got to replace it. I'm also a technical writer, and I need a good pocket camera, so why not combine them?
Good idea. Yeah, nowadays the modern smartphones actually are putting point and shoots out of business because they're very good. Now, what they don't do that even the cheapest point and shoot will do is things like Zoom. You could do digital Zoom on a smartphone, but it doesn't look very good. So are you going to take pictures? What are you taking pictures of?
Oh, I'm a technical writer. Airplanes, cars.
Not airplanes in the air.
No, only.
Oh, good.
Close-ups, engines.
Okay, good. They'll be fine for that. Because you can move in and out, and you can frame the picture the way you want.
Right. When I know I'm going to be taking it, I carry a D3200. I'd like a camera that good if I can get it and something.
You won't get anything nearly that good. That Nikon is an excellent camera.
Yeah, I only get as close as I can. I know it's not going to be as good, but yeah, I lost a cover photo last summer because the camera I had didn't give me a good enough camera, good enough picture for or more up to a cover size.
Right. Okay, so does the magazine say what resolution they have to have?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm an engineer, not a expert at that.
I would think. Okay, so the iPhone. I'll give you a couple of choices. The iPhone is certainly the best. I feel looking pictures, best looking camera phone, but it is only 8 megapixels, and that is not a very high resolution compared to something like the Galaxy Note 4, which is twice as good. And I would say in the Android world, the Galaxy Note 4 is the best camera, or the S5 is the best camera. That is a superb in terms of detail. And I think for what you tell me, detail is important, isn't it?
Yes, I'm not going to do anything in the camera. I'll bring it home and offload it to my desktop. So,
okay.
It's just the optical qualities and how good a picture is it.
Yeah. I would say the again, you've never had a smartphone. Are there any other features of the phone that you'd be interested in? A browser, for instance, or, you know, messaging, things like that?
No, my flip phone does everything I need for an emergency phone.
I really honestly think that for less money, keep the flip phone or get a replacement for the flip phone and get a point-and-shoot. In fact, that Nikon you have is very good. But if you're asking me what the best camera phone is, it's probably the Nokia, the 1020. It's a Windows phone. It's a little oddball. I would say the Nokia is probably the best camera phones, and the best of the Nokias is the 1020. 41 megapixels if you need it. So that's pretty high resolution. I can't imagine that any magazine would need more than, frankly, 8 to 10 megapixels. But so I like the so you've just heard me describe the three camera phones I consider the best. The iPhone for just all around appeal, maybe not perfect for you. The Galaxy S5 or Note 4 for Christmas detail accuracy. Excellent camera, really excellent camera. But for the highest, and it's 16 megapixels, twice that of the iPhone, but for the highest number of megapixels and the greatest control over the shooting, over the imagery, including the ability to shoot raw, which is sometimes very nice, depending on the lighting and so forth, you gotta give the crown to the Nokia 1020. Those are the three best phones out there. But I have to tell you, compared to your flip phone, they're going to be complicated monsters, beasts, because you're not just buying a camera phone, you're buying a lot of other stuff. In a way, Windows phone might not be as intimidating as the most intimidating would be Galaxy Note 4. These are phones for people who just think that the number of features is all that matters. So these phones do everything but bake bread. I mean, they're amazing. The iPhones are pretty simple to use. One of the reasons I think the iPhones continue to sell so well is they're very straightforward, very easy. They do what you want. They get out of the way. And Windows Phone is a unique interface that I think is also very appealing, especially for your first smartphone. I think I personally would say just get a flip phone if that's all you need, and then buy a point-and-shoot camera. There's some excellent choices out there, but frankly, you've already got one of the best. Dave in Temecula, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Dave.
Happy New Year, Leo.
Happy New Year.
I have a... most of the snow has melted out here, so everybody's driving back on the roads again.
I hear you had some nice powder, though, over the last few days. Whew.
It was quite amazing. It's been a couple of decades since we've had 4 or 6 inches of snow.
Hallelujah. Well, that's going to help a lot with the drought. That's nice.
I have an automotive application for you. I have one of those big touring motorcycles. It's got an integrated AM, FM, and don't cringe, but it has a cassette player built into it.
Well, I'm thinking for a motorcycle, that's probably the most practical. A CD player, the jitter, the vibration probably would make it unusable.
Well, the technology's come a long ways, but since this is an older one and I like it, it's got upgraded speakers and an amplifier and so forth. Right now, with my music, I have all my songs downloaded onto a flash drive, and I'm using an FM modulator to get that sound over my speakers.
Right.
I power the modulator through a auxiliary cigarette lighter. What I want to know is, can you think of any way that I can transfer that music to my I have a Droid Mini. I want to transfer that music to my Droid Mini and then somehow wirelessly get that sound to play over my speakers.
Because that's kind of what that modulator is doing, is it's turning your, it's actually an FM radio. It's turning your, you know, your sound into FM radio that your radio then can pick up and play. But since you have a cassette, you can do a wired adapter. I don't know if that's going to get in the way as you're motorcycling around, but that would give you better sound, frankly. The one problem I have with the FM modulators is in busy radio areas, it's hard for them to find a clean channel, and there's interference and so forth. I always recommend, if you can, a wired solution like a cassette adapter, which would then plug into the Droid Mini and you'd be set.
Oh, that's very simple.
And it's going to give you better sound.
Okay. Perfect.
I don't know of a way to, without additional hardware, to turn a smartphone into a radio transmitter. They don't have the radios built into it.
I see. Okay, well, I'll look into that that wired setup then.
That is always preferable, even in a car. And I know in Temecula you don't have, you know, the radio. You probably could find some good clean stations. We can here in Petaluma, where you're just not going to get interference. But the minute I go to San Francisco, just an hour south, I can't use it anymore because every single frequency is occupied. And it causes interference. So wired is always better. And as long as you don't mind a little wire, you could probably even figure out a way to kind of build it into the whatever the dashboard is you have now.
Thank you, Leo.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. You'll be talking to the wonderful Heather Hammond. Nurse Heather is taking your calls, preparing you for surgery by the tech guy. We also have a great website, Tech Guy. Well, you kind of look like you're in a nurse outfit. It's a cable knit, but it's a nurse outfit. TheTechGuyLabs.com is the website. Please remember that. That's so useful. You don't have to really remember anything. TechGuyLabs.com tells you what stations we're on, what times we're on. It shows you where you can download the podcast. You can even watch and listen to the show after the fact there because we post YouTube clips. But even better, the TechGuyLabs site has the text of all my answers, all the questions going way back. And by going there, you can not only search it, but you can go hour by hour, question by question. You can listen, you can watch, you can read the transcript, and you can add your thoughts too. And no subscription fee. I don't ask for your email address, nothing. It's free. It's open. It's like the web used to be. TechGuyLabs.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Wayne in Hemet, California. You're next. Hi, Wayne.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm retired now.
Congratulations. What were you doing before?
I'm a jeweler and a watchmaker.
Ah. Well, you know, I think that is a fascinating profession. I love watches. I remember taking them apart. I never could quite get them back together again.
Well, I can take apart just about anything. Mine was made after 1850.
Wow, that's so cool.
Oh, I've really enjoyed it. But I've been working inside for 30 years. And now I'm going to do the Pacific Crest Trail.
You're kidding!
Oh, no, absolutely not. I'm getting out of the box.
That is awesome. You're going to do the whole thing?
And into the wild, yes, sir.
How long will that take you?
Oh, 4 months.
That is wonderful. So that's the West Coast version of the Appalachian Trail.
Yes, it's about 2,700 miles.
2,700 miles. And you're going to walk it.
Yes, I'm doing a lot of planning, a lot of research, a lot of equipment. It's expensive, but you can get some extremely lightweight. For instance, my tent weighs 2.2 pounds. It's big enough for two people. Fly, rain gear.
Great.
Everything.
How wonderful. And you're going to, do they have, like, I know on the Appalachian Trail, they have little stops, little cabins or whatever, huts or
they
something.
Have, supply points,
right.
And they have post offices that you can send either supplies or what they call a bounce box. You put the things you need in it, and the things you don't need, you put it, then you take the things you need out of it, then you ship it to the next location where you're going to stop at.
That's so cool.
Oh, it's exciting.
Are you doing it alone, or are you going to go with a group? Or
I'm going alone.
I think that sounds fantastic. Maybe, you know what? Let me add that to my bucket list. I'm just going to write that down here. That sounds great. So what can I do to help you? I mean, this doesn't sound like a high-tech endeavor.
Well, I like to be able to communicate with my cell phone when I'm in cell range.
Right.
Currently, I have an iPhone 4. It's an older one.
That's fine.
Now, it does have a GPS feature on it.
Yep.
It does have a compass on it.
Great.
However, what I am in dire need of is a charger that is both lightweight and portable that I can carry entirely off the grid, so
yeah.
I am self-sustaining 100%.
You know, it's funny that you should ask me this because my son had plans to, not the whole Pacific Crest Trail, but to hike a small number of days on it with his friends in between high school and college. And I got him something specifically for this purpose. Now, remember, solar charging, because the cells are small and not so efficient, takes a long time. So what you're going to have is a battery. You're going to put this on your pack, probably, somewhere that's exposed to the sun. And if you walk all day with the sun out and it's charging it, you might get a few hours of useful cell phone service. It's not going to be sufficient to keep the phone on all the time.
Right.
You understand that, right?
Oh, I understand that. I'm trying to find the best option for me. I've seen some solar-powered things you can lap over your backpack. I've seen you can carry a portable thing that's charged up and you can recharge your phone, but I want to keep it as lightweight as possible.
Yeah. So what I got him was from a company called Goal Zero. It's a quite well-known solar company. And I got this at REI, so I figure, hey, if it's from REI, it must be good. It's $100. It's exactly what you're looking for. It's as big a panel as you're going to want to carry around. And by the way, this all rolls up and it's very small. But the panel then has a little hook on the top to hang off your backpack. And it has a little battery that goes with it, and with the battery, a USB port, so you could charge anything. It doesn't have to just be your iPhone. You will have to bring your cable with you.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to keep the light as possible. It's amazing, the equipment out there. I've looked at Goal Zero, and it looks like that's probably going to be the best option I'm going to have besides this hydrogen power cell that you can
buy. That's another way to go, and that's an interesting idea, and probably I would carry that if you can. As an emergency, the neat thing about the hydrogen fuel cells, they don't use solar. They use, you give them a little fuel. It depends on the cell itself. Sometimes it's a little bit of propane fuel. Sometimes it can be other things. And then there's a catalytic reaction in the fuel cell that gives you juice, gives you power. They can last a long time. They're fairly lightweight. And the fuel that charges them usually is easily accessible and not very expensive. So,
I'm very excited about this whole trip.
I am so
able to
thrilled for
keep
you.
In touch. If I need something, my wife can send something I need in an emergency up 30 miles, 100 miles, anywhere along the trek.
Well, that's really changed the idea, hasn't it? Now, I don't know. You probably know better than I about coverage. You're in pretty remote areas most of the time.
Correct.
So you'll have to check. You may not get coverage in many of those areas, but I think in some you will.
Well, I've even thought about taking a satellite phone, but I want to keep the weight down.
That's going to weigh a lot, yeah. There's one other thing I want to mention to you.
Please.
We reviewed it, our review show Before You Buy as a review of the Flame Stower, and it is a pot that you boil, so you can use it for your cooking. But it also charges your phone while you're heating it up. It's crazy, but of course, anything that is using energy will, in this case, the energy to boil the water,
correct,
can also be turned into electric energy. And this actually works. Yeah, REI, I think, also sells this. It's called the Flame Stower. It's basically a camp stove that charges your phone.
I think I'm going to buy a couple of them and try whatever one works out best for me.
Will you report?
And then go with that.
Yeah, obviously, when are you leaving?
April.
So you have a few months to practice.
Yes, it's just amazing.
Wayne, I'm so proud of you. That is awesome. I hope every once in a while you might call us and let us know how it's going, and I'd love to know which works best for you.
Well, thank you, Leo, for your assistance.
Oh, I am thrilled that you're doing it. I'm jealous, and I hope to do the same thing someday. I guess I could do it and come back every weekend to do the radio show. Wouldn't that be fun? The Pacific Crest Trail. Wow. These Goal Zeros are great little solar devices, but don't overestimate the capability of small solar devices. You see all kinds sold all over, and there's just not a lot of wattage generated unless you have a giant panel, which you're not going to carry with you. This Goal Zero is about as big as you'd want. It just, you know, kind of covers your backpack. I would bet that somebody makes a backpack with solar panels on it as well. There must be other ways to do this. In every case, my experience has been it takes a lot of time in the sun to give you even just a few minutes of battery time. There are hand crank solutions as well for emergencies. You can even buy, this is a good point Etronic is telling me about, hand crank radios that give you a flashlight, a weather radio, an emergency radio, not broadcast, just receive, and you can charge your phone off that too. But that's a lot of cranking. That's a considerable amount of cranking. I've used these in the past, and you have to crank. Your arm will get tired. But in an emergency, it's great to have. Laura, Tujunga, California. Or is it Tujunga? Leo, it's Tujunga, isn't it? Tujunga. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I have an iPhone 4S right now, and I want to upgrade to the iPhone 6 Plus. So
good.
I have a Verizon.net email address. So I went down on New Year's Day, and I purchased the 6, and we can't get my email to work.
I can help you. Hold on a second, though. We got to take a break at the ad time, but we will be back. A little word from our sponsors, as they used to say, and more of our calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number, 888-827-5536. We were talking to Laura in Tujunga. She's got a 4S. She's purchased, well, she had a 4S. She made a big jump from a 3.5-inch screen to a 5.5-inch screen on the 6 Plus. How do you like the screen size?
I love it.
Yeah.
So, it's huge. It's like a tablet.
It is. And in fact, I think a lot of people who own it kind of consider it a replacement for an iPad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's really a nice phone. It's just the struggle with getting the email.
Yeah. Now, when you get a new iPhone or a new iDevice, one thing you can do is back up the old one using iTunes or iCloud and then restore, and that will bring all the settings over. And in that case, you shouldn't have any issue at all. It should just basically be the same. But you didn't do that, it sounds like.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. I actually encourage you to do what you did, because a fresh start's always better.
Mm-hmm.
But now that means you have to figure out, how did I have that set up before? Because you've got to duplicate that.
It keeps asking for a password, and I put in the password that I log into my email account on my laptop, the same password.
What was your email provider?
Verizon.
Okay, so you're getting Verizon's email. And is Verizon using Yahoo or something else, or is it?
Yeah, it's a Yahoo, Yahoo.
Okay. Now, if you had second-factor authentication, sometimes that's one of the reasons this would happen, that the password that you think it is isn't actually the password. You have to use a specially generated password. But I don't think Yahoo does that, and I think you I'm just trying to think why. Now, when you selected to create a new email account, what did you select on the screen? You know, it says Gmail, Exchange.
Other.
There was no Yahoo solution.
No, there was no Yahoo. No.
All right. I'm thinking, I don't know, is what I'm thinking. it's obviously a setting issue.
Yeah, right? I was thinking either the incoming or outgoing.
I'm going to put in the show notes, somebody just posted in the chat room, the help page from Verizon, setting up Verizon email on your iPad, iPhone, or iTouch. And it says, tap add mail account. Select other as you did. Use your name. Mm-hmm. The issue is the password. It doesn't like the password,
yeah,
does it?
Yeah, the password, yeah.
This is the password assigned to your Verizon username. If you don't know your username, you can retrieve or reset it. Yeah, it seems like this should work. That's going to give you your access to your Yahoo Mail account. Boy, I would just say make sure you've got the password right.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other reason why that wouldn't work. Are you sure it's asking for the email password? Because the other thing that you notice with the new iOS, iOS 8, and you've made a big jump in iOS numbers, is that it asks for stuff more often. And one of the things it asks for a lot is the iCloud password and other stuff. So read those messages carefully. Make sure you give it the password it's asking for.
Okay.
It may also... I just don't know what else it could be, unless Verizon supports two-factor authentication. You can also go to Verizon's site and reset your password. Start with a new password. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's in the chat room, which means we're going to put it in the show notes at techguylabs.com. It is a direct page on Verizon.com that says how to set up your email on an iPhone.
Okay.
That's as close as you're going to get to an exact instruction. And there is a link on that to reset your password. It might be that you have something in some character in your password that's kind of funny or hard to type. I don't know. But it should work. There's nothing weird about iOS 8 that means it's not going to work if it worked on iOS whatever you had before, 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't be more direct, Laura, but how do you like it otherwise? You like the big screen?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. Everything works great except that. And email's a big part of my job. So it's in today's world.
Oh, you need email. I know.
Work is email.
In fact, one of the best things about this big phone, this big screen, is that email's easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
You see more of the message.
PDFs, you can read contracts better.
Everything looks better. Easier. It's easier to read. And I use, I don't know about you, but I do my email. When I do my email on my phone, I don't like to type so much, so I'll dictate. And the dictation's pretty darn good. I answer a lot of email by voice, which is great. Mm-hmm.
And then sending text messages, too.
Isn't that awesome? That is, to me, this is the one thing on iOS 8 that is better than any other phone out there. In the messages app, and they show it in the ad too, instead of just typing text messages, you can record your voice. And then you slide up and it sends it. And so it's so much easier than typing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes working from home great too, because the conference calls and all that good stuff, you know?
Yep. So you're doing the right thing. Make sure you don't use the Yahoo when it says add mail, that you do the right thing, which is other, not Yahoo.
Right.
Even though Yahoo's the provider, you have to use other. That's what Verizon says. So that was correct. That was the only question I had.
Yeah.
Your email address is verizon.net, right? At verizon.net.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't use
Yahoo. That's an old address anymore, right?
No, it's fine.
My son was trying
You know what it is? It's the password is not getting typed properly.
Okay.
It's hard because the shift key doesn't change. It's a mistake. That's all.
Okay.
But read the page and then see. And if you need to, change the password to something that's easier to type. That might be good. But don't make it easy to guess. You can make it easy to type without easy to guess.
Right.
Don't use weird characters. And sometimes on the iPhone keyboard, you have to type shift and then shift again to get to the percent sign and stuff. Yeah, use stuff that's easier to type. Maybe just letters.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. There's nothing, I guess the thing that will reassure you, is nothing special about your new phone that makes it not work. It's exactly, it should, if it worked on the iPhone 4, it should work just fine, or the 4S, it should work just fine in the 6 Plus. Maybe get another password, but I think it's probably just, there's some weird character, it's not getting typed right, or something like that. 8888-ASK-LEO, the show notes, techguylabs.com. I will put a link there to the Verizon instructions. Nice job with it's a PDF, which is a little weird. It should just be a web page, but it's a PDF. But the instructions are there, and they show you pictures and how to do it. And it seems like it should be pretty straightforward. If it's not working, it's got to be password. But one thing that I do notice, and it happens to me all the time, is that iPhone asks for lots of passwords. And you may have many. For instance, I have an iCloud password, but I also have a different password for iTunes. So I get asked both of those more often than I'd like. With Touch ID, then it's a little easier to use your fingerprint. Then there's the Verizon password, which is different. You may have another password. Sometimes you get asked passwords an awful lot. Read the instructions carefully. 8888 Ask Leo Laporte, the tech guy. She doesn't have a special Yahoo Mail, I don't think. But maybe that's the problem. Let's go to page 6. Page 6. So there are some advanced things you might want to look at. If you're a Verizon Yahoo customer, use the settings below. Ah, you know what? This might be it. And for your username, use your email address without @Verizon.net. For example, JohnSmith99. Whereas you might have on other settings, use JohnSmith99@Verizon.net. See? So maybe that's it. And that would, oddly enough, give you a, what's the password again? Because the password's not matching what it's getting for the net username. And it wouldn't because there is no user at that name. So that might be something special there. Confirm if you're... Note, if you are a Verizon Yahoo customer, use the settings below. That's it probably, right? I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Uriel is on the line from Long Beach, California. Hi, Uriel.
Hi, Leo. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for calling.
I have a quick question. I was wondering if there's a way to send text message, but in the form kind of like an email where you could actually put other contacts, like in a blind carbon copy.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I'm sure there are messaging apps that will allow this. But SMS, I don't think there's any BCC is the term that they use in email, BCC in SMS messaging. What you could do, of course, is copy the contents of the message. Almost all smartphones will allow you to, copy, select it all and copy it and then paste it in another message to somebody else.
Yeah, but I usually send maybe from 10 to about 20 contacts that I need to send to, and I really...
I get what you're doing. You would like to send group text messages without everybody in the group seeing who else is in the group.
Correct. But that, and also, if they were to reply, it doesn't reply to a group message.
Just reply to you, yeah.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure you can do that. Certainly spammers do it all the time. I've been getting a lot of group text messaging. There's, just to be clear, there's SMS, which is the carrier-supported text messaging. SMS stands for short message service. And that is carrier-supported. Verizon has SMS. When it first came out, one of the reasons it took a long time to take over in the U.S. compared to places like Britain, where they've been using it like crazy for years, is that we had different carriers, and each carrier was doing it differently, so you couldn't text... You couldn't SMS somebody on Verizon from AT&T and vice versa. Eventually, 10 years ago, the carriers figured it out. And then text messaging really did take off in the U.S. I remember very well how amazed I was by how widespread the use of SMS was in Europe. And when people here hardly use it, it's also because we weren't using smartphones. So if you wanted to type, the letter C, you had to hit the A key 3 times, A, B, C, and on and on and on. That was just a pain in the butt. But I am sure there is group SMS messaging. The reason I mentioned the distinction is that we also now use apps like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger. There's lots of apps that have these features. But in order for them to work, you would also have to have everybody you're messaging on the same system. Right, they don't all have to use WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or
correct. This is more just to follow with appointments, reminding people, let them know that their appointment's coming up.
Yeah,
usually a group of 15 to 20 sometimes.
My hair cutter does that. She uses a service called Vagaro, I guess it's called, and I will get it when I make an appointment. I'll get a text message, and then the day before, I'll get another text message saying, "Click here to confirm." That's a great. By the way, if you are a service provider of any kind, if you make appointments, this is fab. Your dentist, everybody should do this because then you never miss an appointment. It's such an easy way to do it. And nowadays, I think that people don't pay per message for the most part. And that was the reason not to do it before, was that could cost somebody 20 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I think almost everybody buys either a lot of messages or unlimited messaging. Here's another solution. This is a good one. This came from the chat room. James suggests, and I think it's another way to do it. Every single carrier has an email address for a text message. Usually it's phone number at, sms.carrier.com or something like that. And you can look up Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint and see what format. They all use the same format. If you know the phone number, somebody's phone number, you can use email to do this. And then you can do BCC because, they won't see it. So that would be an easy way to create a solution from a desktop. That's probably what you'd like, right?
Either or, because, I use my phone to pretty much either send an email or send a text message, right. So I could do it from a desktop as well, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, laptop, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be an easy way to do it, and they wouldn't see the other people. What happens if you have multiple numbers in the to field, like comma, comma, comma? Because I can do that with Google Voice. I use Google Voice to send my text messages.
I never tried that. Because I just used to send, I definitely try. The only way that I've been doing it is been sending,
You're doing it by hand, huh?
Yeah, that, and on my laptop, I have the app called Mighty Text, and I have that on my phone.
I love Mighty Text. Isn't that a great app? So that really is a desktop interface to SMS. Try in Mighty Text. I bet you Mighty Text will do this, putting multiple numbers separated by a comma. See what happens.
Okay.
Google Voice does do that.
Okay.
I bet you Mighty Text would do that.
Yeah, I definitely didn't want to, make it seem like on their part that I'm being lazy and sending a group message. I kind of want to make
I don't think they'll see it. I don't think they'll know.
Okay.
Do a test.
I'll
yeah.
With some friends or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, don't do it with your clients. But I love Mighty Text. There are a number of solutions like this. I use Push Bullet on Android, but Mighty Text is you need an Android phone to do it. Of course, if you're using Apple, you could use Apple Messages to do this, and I'm pretty sure Messages would allow BCC.
Oh, yeah, I have an Android.
Yeah, but so that would be an easy thing on iOS. But on Android, Mighty Text is a great app, which I used for a long time. I really love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then while I try to do that, use it through Mighty Text. If not, I'll go ahead and try. But I just thought, I know probably through the phone itself, there's probably not a way for it, but I just maybe assume
you could do it in an email. It's pretty cool. Yeah, do it in an email. That's actually a really cool way to do it.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Everybody, if you're a dentist, if you're a hair cutter, if you're an esthetician, if you're a plumber, this is a great thing. Don't you? Wouldn't you love it if your plumber sent you a text message when he's on his way over? Are you a plumber?
My dad.
Your dad's a plumber. All right. Amy's dad. Wouldn't that be great?
Great.
So, because otherwise you're waiting for the plumber, but now you go, oh, that's no problem. I could take a shower or whatever, and then the plumber send me a text message when they're on their way. Same thing with you going, to a hairdresser. I love it. So when I make an appointment with my hairdresser, they send me a text the minute I make the appointment, so now I have a text record in case I forget to add it. Then the day before, they say, don't forget, you have an appointment. Click this to confirm, which is great for her because she knows that I saw it and I've confirmed. I love that idea. I think everybody should do that. Comcast, are you listening? No, they don't want. See, here's the deal with Comcast. They don't want it to be convenient. They want it to be as painful as possible. I don't know why. I think they're sadists. Seriously. They just enjoy my suffering. Oh, yeah, we'll be there sometime between 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday afternoon by 5. Can you just stay home for the next 3 days? Because we'll be there. And then they come Friday. We were here. Where were you? They just like to see me suffer. Dwayne, Hollywood, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Leo. My problem, I'm 74 years old, and about 5 months ago, I decided to reinvent myself as an actor.
Awesome.
So I got my RV. I'm down here in RV park near Hollywood. And my problem is I've gotten four parts.
Congratulations.
the last part I got in a small film, horror film, I got a late notice to come to it. They called me the day before, and then I had to memorize this page text, and I got there, and I just couldn't do it.
No, yeah, that's fast, yeah.
Yeah, so it was very embarrassing. They had a crew there. There was no rehearsal or anything else. It was just, you know, let's go, shoot. And I just kind of screwed it up.
So hang on, because I think I have some ideas for you. So hang on, we got to take a break, though. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, more to come right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and here he is, Mad Magazine's maddest writer and fine belcher in fine form, Mr. Dick DiBartolo. Hey, Dick, hang on for a second, because I've got Dwayne on the line. He's a movie star.
I know. I want to hear how he's doing with
his... Well, I'm encouraged, too, because, Dwayne, I want to do the same thing. When I retire, I'm going to go to Hollywood and... I always wanted to be an actor, and I never really got to do it.
I never wanted to be an actor, but it was the only thing that where age is not a problem.
Exactly.
They won't hire you for anything, not even Starbucks. But acting, you know, occasionally they need old actors.
They do. Right? They need to represent all the ages, right? And yeah. And mm-hmm. I think I've been told it's actually easier to get work. Everybody, you know, if you're a handsome 20-year-old guy. That's hard to get work because there's 1,000 of them in Hollywood.
Yeah, a million of them. There's 100,000 of them.
100,000, yeah.
They're all over the
but
place.
But there's something that happens with age, and I'm there with you, is that you don't remember things as fast and easy.
Well, my problem isn't remembering it if I have a day or 2 days. My problem is what I want to be able to do is have it on, like, my iPhone and then have some way of clicking on something. Because I can't see the touch screen. I've got a Bluetooth earpiece.
You know, and there's no shame in that.
I want to be able to push a button.
Yeah, it's a dirty little secret of Hollywood that many actors do that. Marlon Brando was famous for doing that in later years. He never memorized lines.
What they did here on this last one that I screwed up, the director says, told me the story about Marlon Brando, and he held the script at the guy who I was talking to, who was a real actor, holding it, and he said, he'll hold it and you read it. Marlon Brando used to do this.
Yeah.
And I said, well, the problem is I can't see it. I didn't bring my glasses.
Marlon Brando is very famous in The Godfather. I've seen pictures. Marlon Brando would have his lines taped to his fellow actors. So you'd see Robert Duvall with his lines. And if you see behind-the-scenes pictures, which for many years were completely forbidden, but now you can get them. And but then later in life, he would have an earpiece. And that's one of the things actors today do. They look like hearing aids.
See, if you have the earpiece, you've got an earpiece.
Right.
A Bluetooth earpiece, and you've got your stuff recorded on your, on your iPhone.
So let me give you.
How would you click this thing so that it starts and stops?
Well, I'm going to give you a program that's designed, I think, to do this. It's called Scene Partner.
I don't think that does it. I think that what that's for is for you to help you memorize it.
It is, but it also will play back. I understand that, but it will also play back speech. So you can read your script into Scene Partner, and then it will play it back for you. So you can have your full scenes or just your lines.
So you've got your iPhone in your pocket.
Yeah.
How do you click it on and off? Because the lines will come, you know, that guy speaks, you speak. The other guy speaks, you speak.
Well, I understand. And so I'm not sure, but most Bluetooth headsets have a button on them that will signal the iPhone. And if I were the designer of this app, and I don't have it, so I can't tell you, but you could download it for free and try. I would have it be sensitive to the clicks on the Bluetooth headset. So all you do is you press the Bluetooth headset, and that is, in effect, a signal to read the next line. If this isn't it, there are others. Ear-prompter.com, thank you, Mike Mann, in our chat room, is designed for actors to be prompted, in effect, through earpieces like hearing aids. So there actually are solutions for this. Brando was famous, even as a young man, for not being a very good at memorization. It is one of the skills that I think a modern actor is expected to have. But, boy, there are some technology solutions for it. Hey, good luck. I'll look for you in the movies, Dwayne. That's awesome. Hey, look who's here. Speaking of talent, he's still got his green screen going. Mr. Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Hi, Dickie D.
Hey, I haven't relit from the New Year's Eve thing yet.
There's a
very funny story about Mae West. You know, she made her last feature film at age 77 with an earpiece. And the story is that it happened to also pick up cabs as they went by. And she would just hear, she would just say whatever she heard in the earpiece. And it reported that she said, "So how you doing? You know, we need a cab at 319 West 82nd.
Okay, so there's some potential pitfalls, but I...
Yes, exactly.
Can you stay on script, please? No ad-libbing. Yes, no ad-libbing. Exactly. Hey, Dickie D joins us each week. He is, of course, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, but a major gadget hound, and each week he has a great gadget for us. What do you got this week?
Yeah, well, you know what? This is very unique because it's a brand new What the Heck Is It? And last month's What the Heck Is It? As I was writing about it, I thought, you know what, this is a great gadget. So last month's gadget was that orange cylinder with four compartments. Well, it turns out that it's a real product, and now you've heard of Duracell.
Yeah.
The gadget was Storacell. What it is a battery caddy for, like, photographers, people who carry a lot of batteries around, don't want the bulk of having them in packages, but you don't want them loose in your backpack or your photo kit so that they touch each other, especially 9-volt batteries, which is not good if they touch something metal. First of all, they can create a spark. Also, they can just drain themselves dead in whatever you put them in.
Yeah.
So Storacell makes these battery caddies for every kind of batteries.
I would have never guessed, but that's a useful gadget.
It is. You know, a lot of people guessed that it was a coin changer, which it does look like. But of course, in the game, we look for the funny thing. Someone said it holds 4 Frankfurters at one time.
In this case, 4 AA cells. It's a little smaller than that. And look, it comes in a variety of colors. $5. The power
packs.
Yeah,
they make them for every, and they also make a giant pack that holds D's and C's and double A's and what are they, CR123s for cameras, so that you can have a variety of batteries and carry them in one single caddy.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's Storacell, and they're at storacell.net.
Storacell.net. Cool. And by the way, if you want to play the What the Heck Is It contest, there is a new gadget, a new close-up. It's very obviously, I don't know what it's on. It's not obviously anything, but take a look at it. It looks like a gargoyle screwdriver. I don't know what it is. It's something odd. Now, here's how you play. You get an autographed copy of Mad Magazine for the right answer. There's 12 of those. And there's 24 for the best wrong answer. So I think you have a pretty good shot at it if you don't know what it is. And gizwiz.biz is where to go for the picture and the rules. And you'll be
perfect
playing for Mad Magazine. Now, what do you got for us this week?
That was my gadget for the week. Yeah,
it was the Storacell.
It was Storacell. But next week I'll have something new because tomorrow at 5:30 a.m. I head for the airport.
Uh-huh.
To go out to CES to find stuff for the Giz Whiz and for the Tech Guy. And a little bit for ABC
That
News.
Is exciting.
Yeah.
How long are you going to spend there? The Consumer Electronics Show. I should say the International Consumer Electronics Show, because that's what they want people to call
160,000 people are expected.
Well, wait a minute. Actually, we're not even supposed to say Consumer Electronics Show anymore. It's just CES. They don't want you because I guess they don't want to. I don't know why.
I don't know. I got that thing, too. But
yeah,
I,
International
maybe it was
CES.
Last year that say, please say International.
International now just CES. Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
That's always a lot of fun. Crazy, though. I mean, you get like almost 100,000 geeks there, gadget towns, dealers.
Yeah, 160,000 are expected this year.
What?
Yes.
What? Journalists all competing, you know, to get the big story. Are you going to go to the Showstoppers?
I'm going to go to Showstoppers. I'm covering Showstoppers. Okay. Padre, who has a podcast on your other network, We'll be covering PepCom. We're all going to
Scott
all the
Wilkinson
events.
Will be down there to cover the yep. TVs and home theater and all of that stuff. We're going to have three or four reporters, a producer, camera crew. So we'll have coverage all week long on the Twit Network, twit.tv, but also next weekend. I hope you will
next
give us
next weekend.
Your...
I'll be back with something weird or wonderful from the international.
Would you?
CES.
International CES. Or just ICES. Would you do me a favor, and if you get some time, go over to the Home Automation Pavilion. I think that's in the South Hall. Because I'm really curious. I feel like this is going to be a breakthrough year. But I feel like that every
well,
year.
Well, there are a ton of press releases about
yeah.
it. But, you know, I'm not too familiar with it, only because when people call me and said, you know, home automation, and I always repeat what I said to you one day. My apartment is so small, I can reach everything from the front door.
The automation is my arms.
Yes,
Dick
exactly.
DiBartolo, thanks for joining us. Thanks, Heather Hammond, Nathan Staten. Thanks to you for being here. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.